Curtis Granderson is here, back on WGN Radio from All-Star Activities with news about a Major League Wiffle Ball series of games. Curtis, how are you today?
I am doing well and so happy to be back home in Chicago. It was hot down there in Texas for All-Star.
Yeah, yes, I saw you on TV a bit. What did I see you doing? What were your responsibilities for the All-Star Week?
So I was there as a part of the Players Alliance, a nonprofit that was started in 2020 to help provide more opportunities for players of color, both in and throughout this game. So we had our Game Changers event where in the All-Star City, we like to give our flowers and say thank you to former players for that team that helped pave the way. So some of the people listening to today might know some of them, such as Hall of Famer Fergie Jenkins, obviously known as being a Cub, but also played for the Texas Rangers. Had an amazing career there, Prince Fielder, Gary Matthews Jr., just to name a few. So that was our big event there, but then we also got involved with the kids and played a game of catch. It sounds simple, it sounds easy, but if you look at all the baseball movies historically, there's always that scene where you have a kid with their parent playing catch. That's how a lot of us get introduced to the game. And what better way to play catch than with some former and current professional baseball players at the highest level, just to see, hey, this is fun, this is exciting. So that was really cool to get a chance to do that and be out there with them. And then I got a chance to be a fan and watch some of the home run derby.
By the way, you mentioned you got to play catch, and that really is a beautiful exchange. It's metaphoric. It's literal. I love playing catch with my son or once upon a time with my dad or with my brother, with my friend. But here's a question that we've asked on this show before since you bring it up, Curtis. Remember Field of Dreams? Do you say, do you want to have a catch, or do you say, do you want to play catch? This is very important.
Yeah, so for me, I say let's go play catch.
Yes.
So that's how I've been, yeah. But I got around, you know, especially in the baseball world, and you start having people from all over, and they're like, let's have a catch. And I was like, what's that? it is interesting, depending on where you grew up and who you were around, you know, one of you say it one way, one say it another way.
Yeah, I guess it was really clunky to me in the movie. I thought, how did they blow that line? This is all about baseball, but maybe where the movie was written or the people that made that decision thought, no, that's the way we talk. But it's not the way I do. You mentioned players of color, and you're trying to embrace, thank players of color, encourage players of color. Is that an issue today? When I turn on TV, I see a lot of Hispanics. Is the black population in Major League Baseball something that you're watching?
Well, one of the big things, one of our founders for the Players Alliance, Edwin Jackson, who played for both the Cubs and the Chicago White Sox, he's one of the founding board members of the Players Alliance. And we were doing a community event with a couple kids, and they saw a big mural. I forgot exactly what city or town it was, but it had a professional athlete on there. And the kid said, who is that, to the other kid? And the kid goes, I don't know who it is, but he must be dead. That's why he's on the wall. And that made Edwin think, oh, wow, like a lot of times when these individuals are highlighted and promoted, it's once they're gone and they're not here to receive those flowers. So especially from the black participation side of things, we definitely want kids to see people that look like them and go, wow, I didn't know that this player is from my hometown or his favorite number is my favorite number. And while he's still alive, I can see him, I can touch him. And these players can also see that these young kids are so excited to see them. I mean, case in point, when I was in Dallas for All-Star, I get into the elevator and an individual that's working at the hotel says, hey, Curtis, I'm a big fan, love watching your game. What do you have going on? And I told him about our Game Changers event going on, saying thank you to those that helped pave the way to allow us to do it. And we're just trying to do the exact same thing. And sure enough, as I finished saying that statement, the elevator opens up and one of my idols that helped be one of my game changers to pave the way for me walked in, and that's Ken Griffey Jr., who also played for the White Sox. So I said, see, it's individuals like him, and I point right to Griffey. I said, he set the tone and paved it for me. It's the reason why I swing a black baseball bat, because I saw him do it.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the coolest thing,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And there was no other reason, but I have no clue if it helped me or if it didn't, but Ken Griffey Jr. did it. I thought it was cool, so I wanted to do it. So that's one of the things we're really trying to promote here, especially as you see the numbers start to decline at the major league level. You just want to make sure that, one, that participation continues to remain high, and Major League Baseball just came out with a stat earlier this year showing that youth participation in the United States is at an all-time high. So we definitely have that momentum and should be celebrated with all the different programs going on. Now we have to keep the pipeline going. Continue to keep playing through high school. If college is an opportunity or if professional baseball is an opportunity, just continue to keep you in there so at least your talent can show off itself and you not get priced out of it or not have the accessibility and all those different things that are made available.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah, you played 16 years in the majors, a UIC guy. Priced out of it. What do you mean by that? It's more expensive to play and travel with baseball these days, isn't it?
It definitely is. And, you know, it's so interesting. You know, you get on social and you see a lot of people having conversations weighing in on and about the different opportunities that happened or didn't happen when I was younger versus how it is right now. So at least from my standpoint, how I grew up playing, the local little league that was walking distance from my house, we sold some candy bars. And if you sold enough candy bars, you were able to pay your registration fees. You got your T-shirt and got your hat. You were responsible for your own bottom. That's the reason why I have blue jeans on in one of my T-ball pictures. Like, we didn't have baseball.
Yeah, right.
We had blue jeans, you know. But if you couldn't sell the candy bars or you ate them all, like I ate a couple of them, they still allowed you to play. So it gave you the opportunity that if you wanted to play, they weren't going to turn you away because financially you couldn't afford it. That has slightly changed now, where a lot of the opportunities that are made available for you to play, the cost to get in is so high unless you are athletically gifted enough where you are able to be scholarship. So, but if I just want to play, and we never know who's going to be good until it gets a little bit later and they're in their teenage years and so on, I just want to have the opportunity to play. And I was fortunate enough to have that. That not necessarily is the case for everyone across this country right now, no matter what your race and ethnicity happen to be, because poverty doesn't see color. So you just want to make sure that if you want to play the game, you have the ability to play it.
So is that what your baseball and educational academy is about? Let's just talk about this fundraiser. You have a series of wiffle ball games coming up, not this weekend, but next Saturday over at the stadium at UIC, which I think is named after you, right?
Yeah, I was able to go ahead with the partnership with UIC. We built the stadium in 2014, so it's amazing that 10 years later, we've been able to do so many amazing things at the stadium, and I call it the best view in baseball. So if you haven't been out there to see it, come check it out. We got the skyline out there. And through that, we started the Chicago Baseball and Educational Academy in 2016, where we provide opportunities for kids throughout the city of Chicago to come out there and practice, play, and train all year long. And next Saturday, July 27th, we're hosting Major League Wiffle Ball. And what's cool about that is Major League Wiffle Ball has a following like none other. They have about 3 million views across all social platforms. They go from city to city, and they play, and they chose to come here to Chicago at Granderson Stadium at UIC July 27th. They're going to play 3 games. Tickets are available. You can check out our website at cbeauic.org. And the proceeds are going to help benefit CBEA throughout a lot of the different things that we have going on. But as you mentioned earlier in this conversation, a lot of kids' first introduction to this game is playing catch with a family member or a friend. But also from that family standpoint, if we want you to start swinging a bat and a ball, we're going to start with something soft like a wiffle ball so you're not damaging and breaking things. So to see it come back full circle and see this is how a lot of kids got introduced
to it. Well, who's on a Major League wiffle ball team?
It's a lot of players that have played either high school baseball or college baseball. But they run it like a normal league. They have trades, they have all-stars, they have drafts, they have championships. Even last year, they hosted their championships in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, home of the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
And the section they had was packed. The fans were into it. They were engaged. The stream that I saw on Instagram, I may misquote it, might have over 1 million views just on that highlight alone. So,
okay, I got a couple questions about the rules of that game. What is it down the line?
It's small. It is really small. I want to say it might be like 90. So, yeah, maybe 120. It's small.
If I field the grounder playing wiffle ball in this professional league, can I throw it at the runner and bean him for an out, or do I have to play normal baseball rules?
No, you'll do that, and they have the target set up as well. So, for example, like at home plate, there's a little kind of rectangular cutout. And if there's a play at the plate, you got to get it there and hit the box before the player slides into home or touches home. So there's certain areas where you can throw it to a spot, and if you hit that spot first before that player's out, or just like normal baseball rules, if you catch a ball in the air, the player's out. If you can get it to an area, to a base, and tag the person, the runner's out as well. So it's kind of a hybrid of both. But the coolest part about it is it shows you that you don't have to have all this space or a lot of players to play. I think each team might have four or five players on the team on the field at one time. So you know how it is when you looking for some colleagues, some friends, some family members, you may not have enough to put nine on each side. But if you can get two or three and I can get two or three and we can afford the wiffle ball bat and the ball and we have a small space in our backyard, we can go ahead and play a game. And that's the part that excites me about it. Any way to get you introduced and show you how fun this game is all the things I'm for.
I remember we would close right field, and then if a ball was hit to center, you'd kind of eye it to see if it was to the right or left of second base because it'd be an out if they hit it to right. So this is a fundraiser, though, this event Saturday. It sounds fun. It sounds hilarious. And you're right. It's the best place to just sit and watch anything in Chicago. You look up and you see the skyline. It's like right there. You're looking north and a little east when you're at UIC Stadium, Curtis Granderson's place. So what do you do with the money? Just give me one more sentence or two about the educational component of your academy, Curtis.
So one of the biggest pieces that we've just done most recently is an umpire training camp. So we've talked about playing at the highest level, college, professional, and so on. But not everyone's going to make it that way. And we found that umpiring and officiating is at an all-time low. So we've worked and partnered with Major League Baseball and Umps Care to do these umpire training camps. Kids get certified, and they can go out and start working today. And most kids don't own their own umpire equipment, but we house it through CBEA. So just like a public library, you come get your umpire gear, you go umpire your games, and you can get paid as soon as you finish up doing our camp with us through Umps Care. So this will help fund some of those initiatives and many others that we have throughout the course of the year.
Nice, nice. By the way, you played for more than half a dozen teams. You played for the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, the Brewers. What was the team that you enjoyed the most? The camaraderie, the coach, the fans, the city. What was the most enjoyable place to play baseball?
So that was the Detroit Tigers because that's where I got drafted. I made my major league debut there, went to my first World Series, and made my first All-Star game there. That was my introduction to it all, and the chemistry, the camaraderie across the board. I had some amazing veterans with Gary Sheffield, Dimitri Young, Kenny Rogers, Pudge Rodriguez, Maglio Ordonez, and I had an awesome core of young players, some that are still playing today, like Justin Verlander, Ryan Rayburn, Marcus Timms, who's now the hitting coach of the White Sox. These are all individuals that I still stay connected to this day. So that'll always be a special place for me. And it wasn't too far up the road. And at that time, we would play the White Sox three times a year. So I had friends and family that would come to Detroit and see us. So I was close enough to stay connected, but far enough to keep everybody away if I needed to.
But I'm up here in Detroit. Well, what do the White Sox need to do besides not be terrible?
You know, it's a tough spot to be in. And what's crazy, when I was with the Detroit Tigers organization in 2003, the Major League club was one loss away from the Major League record for most losses in a season. And the White Sox are in danger and on pace of challenging that right now. So the biggest thing is, and I learned this at UIC, you have to flush it. Think of the toilet and flush it. Get it down. It is done with. The first half is over. You can't fix that. There's nothing you can do. Even if you were playing really well, you can't go back to that. So now you start the second half of the season and say, okay, we are 0-0 today. Let's focus on today's game. Let's focus on this series and take it one day, one series at a time. And things can slowly start to turn itself around. I mean, they basically dug a very big hole. You may not get yourself into the playoff contention, but you can finish a lot stronger than you started, which is all the goal, and that gives you a lot of confidence going into the offseason.
So Curtis Granderson is trying to raise some money for that baseball education academy at the UIC. And if you're having trouble remembering the website, just think, well, it's Chicago Baseball. It's an educational academy, and it's at the UIC. So that's CBEAUIC.org. Proceeds benefit the Chicago Baseball and Education Academy, a Major League Wiffle Ball Tournament, the likes of which you've never seen. Gates open at 5:30, not this Saturday, but next. They will have stuff going on there from 6 to 9. Good luck, Curtis. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And if the audience is forgetting that, just follow me on social. I got links to my websites all on there as well.
Nice to talk to you, Curtis. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.